Blessed Easter. Say it to yourself right where you are. Blessed Easter. I had a blessed Easter. Very unique and unusual. That was amazing. The IT people, the people that handled the parking lot today. Pastor Steve, all the work you did. I saw you. You got a lot of exercise today walking around and moving around, and it was just amazing. My wife and I actually didn't want to leave. I thought I would just stay in the parking lot till tonight, you know, and just enjoy the anointing from the parking lot. And it was great. Great message, Pastor Schaller, today. And it was just an awesome day. I think it's a day we will never forget. I really believe that. A day we will never forget. And it was just amazing. Amazing. I want to speak about victory today. And I think about Easter. We heard about an empty tomb today. And an empty tomb really speaks of victory. And I love that song they sang tonight about the undefeated one. I love that, the undefeated one. So we're going to pray as we begin this time and really like trust God for the prayer tonight. Maybe something very personal in your life, maybe a burden. This is a day that there's resurrection life in some area. Maybe anxiety goes and peace is resurrected. Maybe fear goes because love has been resurrected. I mean, it's amazing. Maybe doubt goes because certainty has been resurrected. Maybe a habit goes because a pattern of Christ's personal life has been resurrected, something very unique and specific in your life. Maybe a financial burden goes because the riches of grace has been resurrected. So really, as we pray, like, believe today for your personal life. We understand the aspect and the power of a resurrection time, a historical resurrection, but the power of resurrection life. Paul spoke about it in Philippians 3:10, to know the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, to know him and the power, that amazing power that resurrection life gives. What a power. And what a victory we have. So, Father, we pray tonight and thank you. We pray right where we are, wherever you are, maybe in your home, maybe watching someplace together with someone, that you would just pray together tonight, or if you're alone, praying alone to the God who hears our prayers and the God, the Father who raised him from the dead. Galatians 1:1, the Father raised him. John 2:19, the Son raised himself, and then the Spirit raised him in Romans 8. The entire Trinity was involved in the resurrection. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we pray to the Father, through the Son, to the Son and the Spirit, that you would just do a great miracle in our lives tonight. Whatever it might be, whatever you're believing God for, something you think could never happen, never happen, and it happens because the tomb is empty and there's absolute victory. We really pray tonight. We trust you. We're praying to one who loves us. We're thanking him tonight, believing in him tonight. Bless our time tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I just love that song, The Undefeated One. That's amazing, the undefeated one, victory. And oftentimes we think about, victory, and maybe for us it could be something very abstract. But God wants it to be so personal in our lives. And there's this great verse on the chapter on the doctrine of the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Bear with me. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's start in verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But, and I love that simple word is so powerful, means a change in thinking. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is very similar to the verse in 2 Corinthians 2:14-16. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. And really, if you read this in the original, it's the word thanks is a derivative of grace. The only reason I thank God is because God has given me grace. Now, thanks be unto God, who always causes us. How often? Always causes us to triumph in Christ. And here we have it again. But thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory. In other words, any victory that I have is because Jesus Christ has won a victory, and then he gives me the victory that he's won. I receive the victory that he's won. We have a little song that we used to do in Ghana. I'm not going to sing it, but I'm just going to say some of the words. Jesus wins. I am in no more sin. Jesus wins. I am in no more sin. You say, yeah, but we sin. I know experientially. But we are perfect in Christ. We are on the throne with the undefeated one. Hallelujah. We're in a place that Satan really, when the Bible says the wicked one touches us not, the word touch means to modify or handle or change you. That can never take place. He can come at us. He can project. He can somehow, at times, by giving permission, things can happen. But greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. And that's speaking of Jesus Christ and in particular the Holy Spirit. We're talking about victory, victory. And even if you say tonight, you know, I know what you're saying, Pastor Schiavelli. I understand that. But, you know, I am not experiencing what's happening in my life. It just seems like one defeat after another. That's because you may be evaluating it or analyzing it or looking it by sight in response to how you feel, sight and feelings, and maybe a lie that comes from the enemy. When you and I are absolutely victorious, we have amazing victory in Christ. And that's incredible. Regardless of what is taking place in my life, maybe there's a struggle in the marriage, but I have a victorious marriage. Maybe there's a struggle in my personal life, but I'm in Christ and I'm perfect in Christ. Maybe there's a struggle at work or a struggle with finances or a struggle with some aspect of the old sin nature that's a pattern that seems to be having the upper hand over me in my life, but yet I've got to live on positional truth, based on positional truth, and then let positional truth by faith be the answer in my experience. So I trust God for who I am in Christ. I think Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10, I am what I am by the grace of God. And this grace was more than just positional, but it caused me to labor more abundantly than you all, yet not I, but Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about that name today, Jesus Christ. Can you say that name? Just say that name out loud, right in your house, right now, right where you are right now, Jesus Christ. Jesus, 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 Jesus. You know what? The enemy fears that name. The world hates that name. The old sin nature wants nothing to do with that name. But the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus. Do you remember the first time you heard it? Maybe it was in church, you were not a Christian, you were going to a church, or maybe you were unchurched and somebody spoke to you and they said that name, Jesus, and maybe in the beginning it caused you a little bit of shyness or you wanted nothing to do with it when somebody said Jesus to you. I can remember it happening to me when I'd heard the name Jesus, but I had really never been witnessed to. And I remember one time I was in some foreign country. And I don't know, I was at a concert, an Eric Clapton concert, if anybody knows who that is. And he was singing a song called Surely the Presence of the Lord is in This Place. And a person came up to me and said to me, do you know that Jesus Christ wants to live in you? I thought they were crazy. I didn't want to hear the name Jesus at that concert. And somebody, I don't know, they just picked me out. There had to be 10,000 people there. And I'm thinking to myself, what in God's name is this person talking to me for? Because God had a plan. The name Jesus, Jesus. When I met somebody in the early 70s, and I was coming out of my grandfather's barroom and restaurant, and they said, Jesus loves you. I said, please get out of my face. Jesus loves you. Jesus. They kept saying the name Jesus, and the more they said it, the more aggravated I got. But you know what? When I went home and night after night, until I got saved, I could keep hearing that name, Jesus. Can you say it? Jesus. Jesus. And what a victory he's given us. What a victory we have. Thanks be unto God who gives us this victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory. I was thinking about victory today, the victory of God's word. Wow, thank God we have the Bible. I mean, we wouldn't know about Easter without the Bible. We wouldn't know about church without the Bible. We wouldn't know about heaven without the Bible. We wouldn't know about hell without the Bible. We wouldn't know about being born again without the Bible. In other words, what a victory we have in Jesus, who is the Word. He's the Word. And I have a victory in the Word. I can think with God. I can have the mind of Christ. I can have God's thoughts. Can you imagine that? What a victory. Not to have to live in my own thoughts, but to live in God's thoughts. I can get thoughts. You know, the thoughts that I think towards you, they are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in the outcome. Jeremiah 29, 10 and 11. And my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher, in Isaiah 55, 8 through 10, than your thoughts. That makes my ways higher than your ways. What a victory. I can have God's thoughts, God's mind. What a victory in God's word. Having God's word, I don't want to ever take it for granted. I don't want to take it for granted at all. There's so many times that we could be thinking and doing so many other things than opening this precious book. Thank God we were brought into a ministry that had a victory based upon the word of God. 1 John 2:14, young men, the wicked one cannot overcome you because you have the word of God. Boy, what a thing for young people to do in their life. Oh, I'm not against going to get an education, if it may be, or whatever. Something that can help you through the temporal, materialistic life, and maybe to even raise a family. But what about learning the Word of God? Learning the Bible. To be a Bible man, a Bible woman, a Bible teenager, to think about the Word, to go to Bible school. There's victory in the Word. So many people try to get so much as far as victory is outside of the Word. But He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. What a victory we have because of this incredible Bible. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy, I think it's 1:18 and 6:12, about fighting a good fight, that through the prophecies or the inspired preaching and teaching of the Word of God, you war a good warfare. You fight with the Bible. We've got victory because we have the Bible. How many times in my personal life have I lived experientially defeated because I did not adhere to and receive God's thoughts and God's mind from this book? Hello? Are you there? Come on. Yeah. Don't go get the popcorn again like I said last time, okay? Stay with me, will you? Victory in the Word. I remember one time going to a hospital to see a precious man of God who had a horrifying accident. And the accident was actually the second one he had that really did something to his brain, a head accident. And they said, this man will never do anything, and he's brain dead. He's physically like, I don't know how they were keeping him alive, but there was no, like, I don't know what they call that, no something in the brain where nothing was taking place. And they had him hooked up to a machine, and we went in there, and I said to the doctor, can I go in there? And they said, well, really, nobody's in there. It's intensive care, ICU unit. You really shouldn't go in. I just said, well, I'm his friend. I'm his cousin, and actually, we are cousins, and I'm a pastor. And he goes, oh, what are you going to do, pray? Now, what are you going to do, pray or something like that? It was like a mocking doctor. Now, thank God for great doctors. But this one was not like that at all. And he was kind of mocking it. You're going to pray? You're going to talk about Jesus to him or something? And just walked away. He says, go in. You know, we went in there. I remember we started to pray. There was two or three of us. We held his hands. And all of a sudden, as we prayed for like maybe like 10, 15 minutes. And as we were praying, I don't know what happened, but a nurse came in. She goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? There's something happening on the machine. There's a wave, that the brain wave taking place. You know what that young man, or that man, he's now 50 years old or whatnot. That man is still in church today. He's in a butcher shop. He's cutting meat and whatnot. I mean, they said, impossible. Well, victory with the word. Victory with the Bible. Amazing victory. People have, I mean, how many problems are there out there? There's alcoholism. There's drug addiction. There's pornography addiction. There's adultery. There's fornication. There's anxiety. There's fear. There's doubt. There's human reason taking place. There's a massive amount of people watching. If it's not TV, there's health issues, age issues. There's so many things out there that are going on, so many battles that we face, and how many people realize the importance of the victory of the word? God's victory through his incredible word. I love it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Casting down. Listen, Corinthians, you've been going through it. There's a lot of things going on in the church. Casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every, how many thoughts? Every thought into obedience to Christ. Every thought. Because I have victory in the Bible. Victory. I can experience victory. People come at us. Maybe somebody doesn't like you. Maybe somebody turns on you. Maybe you had a friend that are not a friend anymore. But you know what? There's such comfort in the scriptures. It's a book of comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, 1 through 3. God can comfort us as the Holy Spirit who wrote the book. And the Holy Spirit lives in us, and we go to the Bible and we get comforted in our affliction. What a victory in the Word. The Word rose from the dead. He was the Word. He rose from the dead. The Word rose from the dead. The living Word. Not dead letter, but the living Word. Next, think about the victory of faith. Really? You think anybody can go against this guy, this Goliath? Well, here comes this little shepherd boy with a sling and 5 stones. I said recently he had 5 stones because Goliath had 4 brothers. And he comes up, and that's the victory of faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. This is our victory over the world, even our faith. That faith, and it's not my faith. He is the Word, and he gives me the Word, and he gives me his faith. A lot of people will come to you and say, like, you need more faith. You don't have enough faith. I never had any to begin with. I don't know what you're talking about. I live by the faith of the Son of God, Galatians 2:20, Philippians 3:9, Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It's God's faith. What kind of faith did I have before the Holy Spirit came into my life? Nothing. Just something natural. But when God comes in and the Holy Spirit regenerates us and we are born again, now we have the character and nature of God, who is the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God. He's living in us. And does the Holy Spirit have faith? Yes, he does. So now I live by his faith, and faith gives me a victory. There are so many times I can live by sight or reason, human reason, experiences, and whatnot, instead of just simply living by faith. And we know what the Bible says in Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, now. And then without faith, what does it say? It's impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. Well, that is interesting, isn't it? Faith, the victory of faith. I have faith that Jesus rose from the dead. We have faith that Jesus was God who became man. We have faith that he lived the perfect, sinless life. We have faith that he had victory. We have faith that the cross and the blood, our sins are paid for. We have a mercy that rejoices over judgment. Faith in God. This is a victory, the victory of faith. You're going to take Jericho. Just go around 7 times, and then on the 7th day, shout. What do they need to have? What does Joshua need to have? Faith. Moses, strike a rock and water's going to come out. Faith. Abraham, get out of thy country and from thy kin, your family, your parents, your immediate family, get out of thy country. That's the victory of faith. Genesis 15, the shield of faith. And on it goes. And so faith is a great victory. We live by faith, the faith of the Son of God. What a victory we have. We believe God. Nobody else believed in Acts chapter 27. Out of 276 people on a boat, Paul stood up in the middle of them and says, I believe God, it will be even as he told me. What happened? They made it alive. That's called the victory of faith. The victory of God's faith. What a victory. Satan hates the word. He hates faith. He does everything he can to take it away from people and from this life. Why? Because of the incredible victory. Paul said at the end of his life, his last letter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. Christianity is a fight, by the way. I finished my course or my race. And I love this part. I kept the faith. It was delivered to me by God himself. It's his faith. I just keep it. I kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness to the, not just him, but all those who love his appearing. I have faith that Jesus is coming back. You have faith Jesus is coming back? I have faith Jesus is coming back. Maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. I don't know when. I'm not one of these predictors of what's going on. But I have faith that Jesus is coming back. I have faith that when you say yes to Christ and you make a decision with your volition that you're born again and you enter the kingdom of God, you're translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. Simple faith. Had a message years ago called Simple Faith Defeats Sophisticated Darkness. Simple faith in God. Childlike faith. Childlike faith. Believing God, I love children. They just believe God. A little girl, you know the story I told you about the mother that was absolutely given up for dead. She was dying of a disease and whatnot, and the father was an unbeliever. And one night the father came home, and the little girl was on this side of the bed praying, oh, Lord Jesus, please, 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 please. I love my mommy, and I have faith in you. Would you please heal my mommy? And then she went to the other side of the bed. On this side of the bed, she goes, yes, little Mary, I hear your prayers, and your mother's going to be healed. Then she went back over to this side of the bed, and she said, thank you, Lord Jesus, for the promise to heal my mother. And the father was watching this. He got saved, and the mother got healed. That's called what? Faith. The victory of faith. It's incredible. And how many people live based upon their situation and not faith, simple faith in God, and it's not ours. It's given to us, the sources of faith. God himself and his love. He's the author and the what? The finisher of faith. Doesn't even say our faith. He's the author and finisher of faith. It's his faith. What a victory. Victory in finances by faith. Victory in a marriage by faith. Victory over bad habits by faith. Victory over sin or thorns in the flesh or besetting sins. By what? By faith. The victory of faith. He's the undefeated one. Jesus is the undefeated one. He's the word, and it's his faith. Next. Number three, the victory of his grace. I love it. The victory of his grace. We're saved by grace, Ephesians 2, 5, and 8. We grow strong in grace. We are delivered in Titus 2, 11, and 12 by grace, the victory of his grace, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but the victory comes through the very grace of God, his nature and his character. This is incredible, the grace of God. First Peter, he talks a lot about it in 1 Peter 5, 5, God gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, 10, the God of all grace who has called us to eternal glory after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish strength, and settle you. And then in 5, 12 or 13, this is the true grace wherein you stand. Peter experienced the victory of grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The grace of God in Exodus 33 and 34 given to Moses. Amazing. Paul getting grace in Acts chapter 9 and then proclaiming it. Timothy being told to be strong in grace. We have a victory and it's in his grace. Because my grace is not anything at all. But it's his grace. How many times have you prayed for this thorn to go away? My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. What he was saying, somebody said this in a translation of that portion. It was like Jesus was telling him, stop praying about this, would you? My grace is sufficient. The thorn and grace is better than no thorn and then you forgetting about grace. You're going to keep the thorn because you got the God of all grace. And so there's the victory of grace for the Apostle Paul, the victory of grace for Timothy, the victory of grace for Titus when he's on Crete with nothing but passive people that were very difficult. The victory of God's grace, salvation by grace, growing by grace, having relationships through the grace of God, the victory of grace. Next, the victory of his love. I love it. I love it, the victory of his love. We are what? More than, can you say it back to me? More than conquerors through him who what? Loves us. The victory of love, 1 Corinthians 12:31. I show you a more excellent way. And that word is hyperbole. I'll show you something above and beyond what you can even think. And then he goes into this amazing chapter or portion in 1 Corinthians 13. The greatest is love. What a victory we have because God loves us. We're literally, we have the love of God. And the love of God was the motivation for him giving us his amazing son and his life and the grace of God. The victory of God's love. God's love, not human feelings, not human love, not physical love, not natural love, but God's agape love. Self, just giving of his own self. Sacrificial love. Sacrificial love, eternal love, constraining love. This is the love of God that changes people, that changes Onesimus in the book of Philemon, that changes Joseph and his brothers. What a victory! The victory of agape love. We have this incredible love, and the Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts, the victory of God's love. Incredible. He loves me. He loves you. Love rose from the dead. God is love. This is who he is. God is the God of all grace. God is faith and God is the word. The victory is in Christ. The victory is in the name Jesus, the undefeated one. He's the undefeated one. I'm excited about this. It's a victorious message. Victory. Victory in God's love. Next victory. Victory in the finished work. It is finished. Tetelestai. Used to be a group named that years ago. Tetelestai. It is finished. I love it. It's in the perfect indicative passive. Don't let that throw you. Say, oh, come on. Don't give us tenses. Perfect. It's eternal. Indicative. Absolutely true. Passive. You receive it by grace. It's perfect. Eternal. Indicative. You. It's the truth. Absolutely true. And passive. It's received freely by grace. It is finished. It is finished. What an amazing truth. The blood, the cross, it's finished. The person, the work of the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, the finished work. They came back and they said, oh, thank you. You sent us out and even the devils were subject unto us. Hallelujah. He said, rejoice not in that. That the devils are subject unto you, but rather rejoice in this, that your name is written in heaven. Hallelujah. My name's in heaven. I don't know, I don't think there's any last name, but I think there's a name there. My name is written in heaven. It's finished. It's finished. Satan can't touch the finished work. He tried in Isaiah 14 to be like the Most High and to ascend, but he was booted out. And he hates that idea. He's an enemy. But God destroyed in 1 Corinthians 15:26 the enemies, even the last enemy being death. Victory. Victory in the finished work. God sees Aaron in the finished work. He doesn't see him in his making of a calf when Moses is gone. God sees Jacob in the finished work. He calls him Israel. God sees Abram in the finished work. He calls him Abraham. It's amazing. He brings Saul to Paul. He brings Simon to Peter. This is how God sees. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Numbers 23, 18 and 19. What a victory we have in the finished work. The day we believe, we're in. I'm in. Finished. I don't have to do another thing. It doesn't mean that I live a passive life and say, oh, it's finished work and go live like hell. No, no, no. Because God disciplines, lovingly disciplines. But I have victory in the finished work. Victory in the finished work. Next, I have victory in the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit, he makes it known to me on a daily basis as I'm filled. I confess my sins, conviction comes in, he convinces me, and I have victory. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, the churches were told, he that has an ear to hear, what? Let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He that overcomes, overcomes, seven times, overcomes, 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 overcomes. The Holy Spirit's life. The Holy Spirit's power, the Holy Spirit, the victory in the book of Acts, from Acts 2, 41 through 47, and on through the whole book of Acts, Acts 4 and 5 and 8, and on we go in Acts 13, the Spirit speaking, Acts 16, the Spirit leading, the victory of the person of the Holy Spirit. It's incredible. We have this incredible victory with the person of the Holy Spirit living in us. He fills us. He cleanses us. He leads us. He guides us. It's amazing, the victory. And finally, the last one, the victory of the church. Remember, Jesus Christ is all of these. He's the Word. It's His faith. It's His Word, His faith, His grace, His love, His Spirit, His finished work. And now it's His body, the church. I will what? I will build my church and the gates of hell will not what? Prevail against it. Remember that. Remember I said this before. Jesus didn't say, you will build my church or I will build your church or you will build your church. It's my. I will build my church. The gates of hell can't touch it. There's victory in the church. You know, a lot of Christians that do not go to church, they are saved and they will go to heaven, but they do not experience the victory they could have by being in the assembly. Where would I be without this church? Where would you be without your church, no matter what the church is? I don't know what I would be doing. Be roaming around doing something nonsensical and calling it spiritual. I need the church. The church needs me. I need the church. I need the church. My family needs the church. My marriage needs the church. My children need the church. Grandchildren need the church. My friends need the church. The victory of the church. The church. Why? Because it's His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Wow. The victory of the church. Jesus Christ and His church, His body. Oh, it's amazing. The ecclesia of God. His church. He's coming back for His church one day. Amen? That's amazing. That's amazing. What an opportunity we have. What a victory we have. Let's believe this in Isaiah 59, 19 in closing. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit raises up a standard, lifts up a standard. The enemy's coming. But you know what? I don't fear him. He's defeated by the undefeated one. He's defeated by the victorious one. He's defeated by the Word, the faith, the grace, the love, the Spirit, the finished work, and the church of the Son of God. Jesus Christ, name above all names. Amazing. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, thank you tonight for victory, victory. I want to almost sing a song. There's victory in Jesus. Victory, victory. And we can fellowship with the victory that God has given us. Not just have it positionally, but experience that amazing victory. Thank you, Lord. You've given us the victory. He says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not through anything that we do or have done or could do or will do or whatever man has done. No, but through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are here, you're not here, but if you are listening to me tonight and you're not saved, you are experiencing the defeat. You're experiencing no victory. God gives you victory over the old sin nature, Romans 6:6. He gives you victory over the world, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 4:4. And he gives you victory over the devil and demons, Revelation 12. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. They love not their own lives unto the death. You can have victory by saying yes to God. He's defeated sin and the old sin nature and the world and the devil and the demons. Defeated. He's the undefeated one. He defeats them all. We thank you tonight. If that's your prayer, just say alone or if you're with somebody, Jesus, save me. I want to experience the victory of the cross, the victory of the blood, the victory of an empty tomb, the victory of resurrection life. Thank you. Tonight, I pray this prayer and I ask Jesus into my life. You can contact us somehow and tell us what happened tonight. We thank you for victory. We thank you for what Easter represents. It's Resurrection Day, absolute victory. In Jesus' name, amen.